16th dear servant of Nityananda Prabhu was Dhananjaya Pandit. He was very much renounced and always merged in love of God, love of Krishna. Purport. Pandit Dhananjaya was a resident of the village in Katla named Shitala. Or Shitala, actually. Shitala. He was one of the 12 Gopalas. His former name, according to Gaurav Ganadesh Deepika, was Vasudham. Shitala Gram is situated near the Mangalakota police station and Kaichara post office in the district of Burdwan. On the narrow railway from Burdwan to Katwa is a railway station about 9 miles from Kutwa, known as Kaichara. One has to go about a mile northeast of this station to reach Shitala. The temple was a thatched house with walls made of dirt. Some time ago, the zamindars of Bajaravana Habashi, the Muliks, constructed a big house for the purpose of a temple, but for the last 65 years, the temple has been broken down and abandoned. The foundation of the old temple is still visible. There is a Tulsi pillar near the temple, and every year during the month of January, the disappearance day of Dhananjaya is observed. It is said that for some time, Pandit Dhananjaya was in a Sankirtan party under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he went to Vrindavan. Before going to Vrindavan, he lived for some time in a village named Sanchada Panchada, which is 6 miles south of the Memari railway station. Sometimes this village is also known as, quote, the place of Dhananjaya, Dhananjayera Pata. After some time, he left the responsibility for worship with a disciple and went back to Vrindavan. After returning from Vrindavan to Shitala Gram, he established a deity of Gaurasundara in the temple. The descendants of Pandit Dhananjaya still live in Shitala Gram and look after the temple worship. So, in this chapter, we've got a recitation of some of the great devotees, associates of Nityananda Prabhu. And it's an interesting thing when you go through some of these names and see how they're described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, how much respect and affection he evidences about them. And I was just thinking that one thing that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was always railing against were the various Sahajya groups in India. Why? There were a lot of groups that sprung up after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, who had very sentimental versions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Some of them smoked ganja. Some of them were engaged in illicit sex or dressing up like the gopis. And they were very imitative behavior. And I say imitative because and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very disturbed, he was disgusted by it. The reason for his disgust, somebody might say, well, it's relatively harmless, isn't it? It's people are just, you know, they say that imitation is the highest form of flattery. In this case, it was not the highest form of flattery because it gave a degraded impression of the teachings and practices of the Goswamis, the actual Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sad Goswamis. And it's actually a critical thing because it's a misrepresentation. Just as we know that, just as there is counterfeit money, there is real money. Or just as in a mirage, Hare Krishna. In a mirage, there appears to be water, but actually water is elsewhere. But just because there's a mirage or just because there's counterfeit, it doesn't mean there's also not real money and real water. So there is real bhakti, real devotion, and there's counterfeit devotion. So because of the influence of these sahajyas, people got a very wrong impression. So it's important to understand the quality of these personalities that are being described here. For instance, we have there are so many instances, but I was thinking of one in particular. When Nityananda was traveling, before he actually met up with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur, he met a party of devotees headed by Madhavendra Puri and Ishwara Puri, who later became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, was also in that party. And there's a description of their meeting which sounds almost otherworldly, unearthly. And someone might think it was just some kind of sentiment. But when Madhavendra Puri spotted Nityananda Prabhu, he immediately began to shed tears and embraced Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda also began to shed tears. They were embraced and crying, and then they actually fell unconscious on the ground and remained in that condition for many hours. So when people read these things, some people, I mean, this was because this was the impression created by these sahajya groups, oh, this is just some type of Bengali sentimentality. So in other words, a great injustice was being done, because these are the real deal, as we say in the U.S. These personalities were actually exalted eternal associates of the Lord. And when they felt spiritual emotion and expressed it through their ecstatic symptoms, this was not imitative. This was absolutely on the completely on the absolute platform, also on the platform of absolute shraddha or faith. Just as even in our time, when Srila Prabhupada would appear in an airport or in a temple, there may have been a few imitative devotees on hand, but mostly the ecstatic expressions were real, because to be in the presence of a personality who's actually imbued with love of Godhead, it has a very profound effect on anyone who is actually seriously seeking some type of spiritual life. So much so that there was laughing, there was crying, there was sometimes even fainting. So, but when we read about these personalities, we shouldn't have a wrong impression that this is some type of sentimentality, that their behavior is in such a way that we may get that idea. But it's actually a kind of doubt. And truly advanced devotees, they don't have these doubts. They actually are on the level of, their level of shraddha is absolute. And in a sense, shraddha also defines one's level of advancement, the depth of one's faith. Not sentiment, but actual faith based on experience. So I wanted to discuss a little bit this morning this topic of shraddha or faith, because sometimes people think that faith is blind or based on some sort of sentimentality. Of course, Lord Chaitanya made it clear, and Prabhupada made it clear, that sentiment is all right, but it should be based on shastra, it should be based on practical spiritual experience. What is it not on? It's not very strong. Okay, well, I can speak louder. Okay, is that better? Yeah? Okay. So, I was just thinking about, there's a verse from Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayadmika buddhir. Oh, maybe that's the problem. Ekeha kuru nandana. Bahushaka yanantascha Buddhayo vyavasayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, a strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called vyavasayatmika, intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita also states that faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. So that defines faith for all. Certainly it defines the faith of those followers, those intimate followers of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They had unflinching faith, unflinching trust that whatever the Lord said or did was perfect and wonderful and full of ecstasy and bliss. So, in many places, Shraddha is defined as firm faith. Sometimes when we describe the different the latter, you could say, of bhakti, we talk about Shraddha, firm faith, as a beginning stage, Adao Shraddha, which leads to Sadhu Sangha, which leads to Bhajana Kriya, or the activities of devotion. So, also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's an important verse, third canto. That's the 25th chapter, 25th verse. Satang prasangam mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrid karna rashayana katha tad joshanad ashvab vargavartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishati. Which means the spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees, and it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens, and gradually one attains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. So this Shraddha is a very important quality for a devotee, that he should have firm faith in the words of the spiritual master, in the words of the Shastra, that this faith should be there in his heart, which is cultivated in this association of devotees and by hearing the transcendental messages from great souls. It's a very important practice. In the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a nice verse where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami addresses the reader. And he says, Chaitanya Charita Shuna Shraddha Bhakti Hari Kari Matsarya Chadiya Mukhe Bala Hari Hari. Please, in the translation, please hear the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and devotion. Giving up envy of the Lord, everyone chant the Lord's holy name, Hari. So we should, Hari, Hari. So it enjoins us to hear about the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates with faith, Shraddha, and with devotion. Shraddha and Bhakti, both are mentioned in this verse. And it says, giving up envy of the Lord. So one may say, what are you talking about? I'm not envious. I don't have any envy of the Lord. But the fact is, we're still self-absorbed rather than Krishna-absorbed. It talks about absorption as it's a material characteristic that one is absorbed in sense gratification. But the absorption of a great soul is that he's absorbed in Krishna, especially the holy name of Krishna. So this type of absorption is desired. Giving up envy of the Lord, everyone chant the Lord's holy name, he says. And it says, even by associating, this is These verses are also interesting. They are also from the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's a compilation of three different verses from the 22nd chapter, the 64th verse, the 69th verse, and the 71st verse. And the translation is, a person who has attained firm faith is a real candidate for advancing in Krishna consciousness. According to the faith, there are first class, second class, and neophyte devotees. One who has preliminary faith is called the Kanishtha Adhikari, or a neophyte. The neophyte, however, can become an advanced devotee if he strictly follows the regulative principles set down by the spiritual master. Therefore, it is on the basis of faith and attachment to Krishna that one can judge who is a Madhyama Adhikari or an Uttama Adhikari. So here we see that Shraddha is the actual measure, you could say, for one's level or standard of devotion. Whether one is a first, second, or third class devotee, everyone is eligible to come to the highest platform, but one has to proceed with this, with both bhakti and with Shraddha. So then, I'm just reading a few more citations about Shraddha, and then we can talk a little bit about how to develop Shraddha, or to increase Shraddha. So this is another one, a kind of definition. Shraddha is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all some subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. Purport: firm faith and confidence are called Shraddha. When one engages in the Lord's devotional service, he is to be understood to have performed all his responsibilities in the material world. So that's quite a dramatic statement. You don't have any more material obligations if one engages in devotional service. He has satisfied his forefathers, ordinary living entities, the demigods, and is free from all responsibility. Such a person, excuse me, does not need to meet his responsibilities separately. It is automatically done. Fruitive activity, karma, is meant to satisfy the senses of the conditioned soul. However, when one awakens to Krishna consciousness, he does not have to work separately for pious activity. The best achievement of all fruitive activity is detachment from material life, and this detachment is spontaneously enjoyed by the devotee firmly engaged in the Lord's service. So I was just reading as a great illustration of this principle. It sounds like a call to be for people to become totally irresponsible. But actually, when Lord Chaitanya was talking with Srivas Pandit, as we know, Srivas was a great devotee, and he was a family man. He had a wife and many children. But he never left the house practically, very seldom went out anywhere. And Lord Chaitanya was questioning him, how will you maintain your family? And unless you go out begging, because that was the practice, Brahmins could go from door to door and beg some alms. He said, no, I don't like to do that. And Lord said, but how will you maintain your family? And then Srivas Thakur said, I'll tell you how. And then he went like this, 1, 2, 3. And Lord Chaitanya, what does that mean? I'm dramatizing a little. What does that mean? 1, 2, 3, clapping your hands. He said, it means that if I do not get any food for 3 days, then I will tie a huge pot around my neck and go jump in the Ganges and drown. And Lord Chaitanya began to exclaim, this is wonderful, he said. He said, I declare that you will never experience poverty or starvation. So, because his faith was so strong that if he was surrendered in devotion to the Lord would take care of him. So to the degree that one has that Shraddha, then he is protected and maintained by the Lord. To the degree that one doesn't, one has to suffer in various ways, as we householders have experienced. Or actually everyone experiences it. Because according to your standard of faith, you're either anxious or not anxious, or a little anxious or very anxious. So if we have deep faith, then there's not much to be anxious about. As you know, one of Prabhupada's favorite phrases in addressing his devotees is, "What is the difficulty?" And there's another story which is a little mysterious, but it's kind of humorous and illustrative also, that once a devotee was, and I can't remember the particulars now, but he was lamenting and crying, actually. He was so upset about and anxious about something. And Prabhupada was patting him on the head at the time, patting him like that. And he was saying over and over again to this devotee, "You have no problems. You have no problems." So I'll leave it like a Zen koan. You can meditate on that and think think maybe about what it actually means. Anyway, I'll read one more on faith. When the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies, the following 9 symptoms will manifest in one's behavior. So these are actually the real symptoms of bhava. Of course, there are physical symptoms that are sometimes described in the shastra of crying or goosebumps or what they call horripilations. There are so many ecstatic symptoms, talking strangely, laughing in an unusual way. There's so many different ecstatic symptoms. But the real ecstatic symptoms are practical characteristics, which are listed here. Forgiveness. Concern that time should not be wasted. Detachment. Absence of false prestige. Hope. Eagerness. A taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord. Attachment to descriptions of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and affection for those places where the Lord resides, that is, a temple or a holy place like Vrindavan. These are called anubhava, subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion. They are visible in a person in whose heart the seed of love of God has begun to fructify. So now the other question comes, how to develop this eagerness or this shraddha? Actually, Prabhupada sometimes describes, when we say adal shraddha, shraddha is not always just defined as faith, it's often defined as eagerness, which is an interesting way to describe it. Vasudeva Kataruchi. We want to have eagerness for these things. So it says to do that, we have to render service to a person who is under the protection and guidance of Krishna's transcendental nature. Prabhupada writes, and he says that service begins with faith. So there's always initially there's some faith. And Prabhupada describes it like this. He says, that faith can be simply some appreciation for Krishna consciousness. Without even taking up the process of bhakti yoga, if a person thinks, these Hare Krishna people are very nice, such appreciation will give him a touch of spiritual life. It says, and the development of this appreciation by degrees will be the development of his spiritual life. So he classifies Shraddha as appreciation. Just like when you hear something from Bhagavad Gita, you think, oh, that's really wonderful. That's appreciation. When you hear a devotee speak and you think, oh, I want to hear this, that's Shraddha. That's appreciation. And of course, it may deepen as one advances, but this is the basic thing. Then Prabhupada describes it also like this. He says in this, the next stage, he said, is sadhusanga. He says, in this stage, one may think, all right, the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna and talking of Krishna. Let me go to the temple and sit down and hear. So that's sadhusanga, that initial interest or enthusiasm. Then there's actually the hearing, sadhusanga, taking the association of Vaishnavas and hearing something. And then he says, the third stage, it's bhajanakriya, where we begin to perform the process of devotional service. So this bhajana kriya, this is the essential stage for one's advancement in Krishna consciousness, that one actually practices. Now, sometimes we call it sadhana bhakti, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't go quite that far, because bhakti means there's actual devotion. So he called it sadhana kriya, the activities of devotion. In other words, we're doing the practices, we're following the practices. We may not have much devotion, but we're trying to revive that devotion, because we know that it's in the heart. It's dormant within the heart of every living being. And it can be brought out by practice, by sincere practice. So then he goes on and he says, so ruchi, the taste for hearing Vasudev Katha, Krishna Katha, this materially diseased person cannot taste this ruchi, taste. To get this taste, there are preliminary activities. What is that? First thing is that appreciation. Oh, it is very nice. Adau Shraddha, Shraddhadhana. So, Shraddha, the appreciation, this is the beginning. Then, Sadhu Sangha. Then, mixing. All right, these people are chanting and talking of Krishna. Let me go and sit down and hear more. This is called Sadhu Sangha. Those who are devotees, to associate with them. This is the second stage. So this is all from different parts of Prabhupada's writing. And this next section actually comes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I didn't note down the reference, so, but anyway, I can find it if you need to know later. But these are nice verses. It says the conditioned souls are wandering throughout the different planets of the universe, entering various species of life. So here we're describing the existential situation of a conditioned soul. This is our situation. This is everyone's situation in this material world. By good fortune, it says, Kona Bhagye, by some good fortune. One of these souls may somehow or other be delivered from the ocean of nescience. Just as one of the many big logs in a flowing river may by chance reach the bank. Purport, there are unlimited conditioned souls who are bereft of Lord Krishna's service. Not knowing how to cross the oceans of nescience, they are scattered by the waves of time and tide. So there's the description here is like an ocean or a river. And it says that they don't know how to cross it. The living being doesn't know how to cross this ocean, or whatever you want to describe it as, whether it's an ocean or a river, they don't know how to get across. This is something that comes up in many old folk songs and stuff about people trying to cross a river or a big body of water not knowing how to do it. But anyway, here it says, some are fortunate to contact devotees, and by this contact, they are delivered from the ocean of nescience, just as a log floating down a river accidentally washes upon the bank. So then the question may arise, well, is it just luck then? Actually, one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said something mysterious. He said about devotees practicing Krishna consciousness, he says their success depends upon their good luck. Of course, in English, when we say luck, it's sort of divorced from spirituality sometimes. So luck is sometimes misunderstood. Fortune is a little different. Fortune means by your background in piety, you may achieve something. Or not, because you still have free will. You can turn away from that good fortune, or you can embrace it. Anyway, then he goes, characterizes, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami characterizes the attitude of the living entity, the conditioned soul. He says, because I am so fallen, I shall never get a chance to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he comments, this was my false apprehension. Rather, by chance a person as fallen as I am may get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although one is being carried away by the waves of the river of time. So time is also compared to a river. So although one is being carried away by the waves of the river of time, one may eventually reach the shore. So there's a hope. So there's the hope. And then, actually this verse was spoken by Akrura. He was thinking like that. In the 10th canto, 38th chapter, Akrura was thinking like this. He says, because I am so fallen, I shall never get a chance to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was his humility. I mean, he was a great devotee. And when actually he became ecstatic just seeing the footprints of Krishna. But still, this was his feeling. He said, this is my false apprehension. I was worried that I'll never get to see him. But actually, even a person as fallen as I am, it's possible. It's possible. So he's speaking for us. It's possible. So then another verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, by good fortune, one becomes eligible to cross the ocean of nescience. And when one's term of material existence decreases, one may get an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. By such association, one's attraction to Krishna is awakened. So still the question is there, how is it that we can get the qualification to get the association of such devotees? So this is explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the purport. Prabhupada cites Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this point. Is this bhagya, fortune, the result of an accident or something else? In the scriptures, devotional service and pious activities are considered fortunate. Pious activities can be divided into three categories. Pious activities that awaken one's dormant Krishna consciousness are called bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. Pious activities that bestow material opulence are called bhoganmukhi sukriti. And pious activities that enable the living entity to merge into the existence of the Supreme are called mokshanmukhi sukriti. These last two awards of pious activity are not actually fortunate. Well, I mean, of course, many people think they are because they think, well, if I could merge into the Absolute, that'd be great. Or if I could get, you know, tremendous material opulence, how wonderful that would be. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation, he says, these are not fortunate. He says, pious activities are fortunate when they help one become Krishna conscious. The good fortune of bhaktyonmukhi is attainable only when one comes in contact with a devotee. By associating with a devotee, willingly or unwillingly, one advances in devotional service. And thus one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. So this is from Madhya Lila, chapter 22. So how wonderful, willingly or unwillingly, if one comes in contact with a devotee, it is possible then to get this pious activity or the benefit of this pious activity, bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. So this is the only actual good fortune according to this analysis by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is real fortune. So when we talk about becoming fortunate, having the association of devotees, that's fortune. That's the real fortune. Well, sometimes we may be able to appreciate it, sometimes not. Sometimes appreciable, sometimes not appreciable, depending on one's outlook. But this is considered real good fortune. So, I had one other. So this is the, because this is the theme, at least, of what I was trying to discuss today, is this Shraddha. How does one get it? It is by the mercy of a great devotee. That's the sum and substance. One wants Shraddha, then one has to associate with Vaishnavas. And associate in the right way, hearing from them when they speak of the glories of Krishna and the glories of the great devotees. Try to hear something. And that way the Shraddha will become stronger and stronger in the heart, especially through this hearing process, through chanting, through association, through service. This feeling of faith, strong faith, will gradually increase. Earlier we were discussing this verse, Vyavasayatmika Budhir Ekeha Kurunandana, this verse. There's a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. And Prabhupada, when he read it, he was so moved by it and so struck by the importance of it that it became a kind of operating principle for him. And he wrote quite a number of purports explaining how important it is to take the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul, and also as the means by which one can advance in Krishna consciousness. So I'm going to read a few more quotes, and then I'll open the floor up for any questions or discussion. Open the floor up, that sounds like a pretty official, yeah. Anyway, here's some of the quotes of which I think are so wonderful. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution... So when one resolves, yes, I'm going to follow. His resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As explained before, this means meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instruction of the spiritual master. This is technically called Vani Seva. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states in his Bhagavad Gita commentary on the verse, Vyavasayatmika Budhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana, that one should serve the words of the spiritual master. The disciple must stick to whatever the spiritual master orders. Simply by following on that line, one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are very strong pronouncements. He's not saying it, maybe you will, or maybe you won't. He says one will see the Supreme Personality of Godhead if one takes the order of the Guru very seriously. He goes on to say, in conclusion, if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says this is the only secret. The only secret of success. Although I know what once Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Prabhupada, what is your secret of success? Just kind of an interesting question to ask a spiritual master. But anyway, he asked him. And Prabhupada's reply was, I was never a lazy man. He said, so similarly, you should also not be lazy. Follow my example. So anyway, it says, this is the only secret of success. Again, what is that? To execute the mission of the spiritual master. And in that way, you're associating with Krishna. It says, instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, so this is a slam at the Sahajiya class, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. So this is another one. This is he wrote this at the conclusion of his translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He writes, today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Ram Ekadashi. We have now finished the English translation of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. (Clears throat) Although according to material vision, his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider his divine grace to be always present with me by his vani, his words. There are two ways of association, by vani and by vapu. Vani means words, and vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not. But vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the vani, not the physical presence. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. So that was the concluding remarks to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then a final one. It is imperative that one accept a spiritual master if he at all desires to gain the favor of the Lord. The service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, a devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. There is no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. So these are Prabhupada's, you could say, personal realizations about the importance of faithfully, again, Shraddha, of faithfully, with strong faith, following the direct order of the spiritual master. And that's something that everyone can do if they're serious about spiritual life. We know what the basic formula is, and we should, if we execute it with great sincerity, then no real obstacle can stand in the way of one's spiritual development. So it requires faith, it requires enthusiasm, and of course you can't, as we were jokingly remarking, you can't be a lazy man or woman either. So there has to be faith, there has to be serious, strong endeavor, and then success is assured by the acharyas. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much for listening. And if there's any questions, comments...